There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
And we've got Monica from doindubai.com. She's here. We're focusing on iftars, first of all.
Food, the news and the reviews.
Hello, Monica. Welcome back.
Hello, Steph. Thank you very much. Very good to be here. I'm feeling very positive and upbeat about Dubai because while I've been researching sort of iftars, for some of us who aren't fasting, there have been some amazing deals that have been around and I've sort of tried one or two of them. I think they're great. So, yeah, we've got a very, very good show for people who are fasting and people who aren't.
A big random mix for you today.
Yep.
All right, so let's start with iftar. Somewhere that I have been dying to go, Mark Lloyd took the press invitation and went along without me. I was going to go for the royal wedding, but really, I can't afford it. Had to tighten my belt a bit this month. Mm. But I am, I think, going to go for the iftar.
You're going? Okay.
I think I'm going to go tomorrow night.
Right.
That's the QE2.
Yeah, you might run into me there on the QE2 tomorrow. Are you,
always there.
I've been there already. Been there, done that.
Oh.
Yep, seen that.
Yeah, I popped along, of course, when it actually opened as a hotel. And took a look around and, you know, the restoration that they've done, they've kind of restored it to what it was like back in, it was launched in 1969 to what it was like back then. And I really enjoyed it. I had a good half day on there and, you know, it was something that I'll never forget.
Yes, I agree. Some of the bits have been restored really beautifully. Some of the original bits, sadly, some of the most impressive, which I think were Queen Mary apartments you can't take photographs of, so that's her sort of personal apartments and the walk-in closet and the little sunroom she's got and the deck. Yeah. Did you know there was a marriage proposal on that deck? Of course it was accepted. How could you refuse? Already yeah. They've had that there, so I think that was
wow.
Quite nice.
Amazing.
But what struck me going around a sort of quick tour was some bits were much more sort of glamorous and what you'd expect in terms of an iconic luxury ocean cruise liner versus others. So it's quite mixed, I think, and they have just got going. I think kind of give it time. And obviously you need to be a boat isn't the wrong word, it's a ship, a bit of a boat buff to really appreciate everything.
Yeah. Do you think so? Because I just imagine turning up and there being this huge, amazing ship in front of me, like taking my breath away. That's what I imagine.
I mean, in its day, it was definitely considered that.
But what's changed?
It is. But I mean, there's bigger ships now. If you're talking of size, there's bigger.
Yeah, the Queen Mary doubled the size of that.
And the Queen Mary QM2 actually sailed in the day that the hotel was opened.
Yes.
The QM2 actually sailed in there as well. But what I really like was the museum. There's a museum before you actually board the ship. Oh. There's a big museum that really is so informative. It's interactive, and you can really find out a lot about the ship.
So where do they have the iftar?
So they've set up a special tent on the ship for the iftar. They've described it as an Arabian majlis on deck. So I, like you, Steph, was
so it's outside?
I don't know whether, I guess it would be outside, but you don't, so I imagined walking onto this sort of vessel, as you are saying, and sort of kind of following a path, like a kind of nice lantern lit path onto an obvious Arabian tent. That's not the case. So you go onto a various deck, I don't know which one it was, quarter deck, half deck, one of those, walk into the restaurant called the Lido, which is their newest, most contemporary restaurant, empty, of course, at the moment. And then from there, you take some steps down into a tent that's been set up. It's sort of like red and white.
Yeah.
And it's you can't see the sea from outside. There are lots of coolers around. To be honest with you, from our point of view, we thought it would be a little bit more glamorous and a bit more kind of oomph, you know, more jazzmatazz.
So you didn't necessarily feel like you were...
Not the ambience in the tent was not, no, didn't really reflect what we were expecting from the QE2. No, but bearing in mind the some of the most beautiful tents that you do experience here at the back of some hotels, sort of some of those. So we thought it would be in line with one of those, but I don't think it was.
And what about the food?
There was a very good array of salads and the sort of starters that you have, you know, so when you initially break your fast, that was very good. Two whole different stations of salad. Very limited choice for vegetarians. Extremely limited for vegetarians. And I don't know, I quite like uzi, you know, I sort of don't eat beef, but I quite like that lamb and rice dish, especially at iftar, because it's traditional to eat at that time. And I took a plate of some uzi, and then there was another meat in it, which I hadn't seen before. And I said, oh, is this also lamb? And they said beef. And I've never come across an uzi which has beef in it. So, of course, I couldn't eat it, but that was new to me. So I couldn't eat that either. We expected there to be a little bit more in terms of dishes and ambience, just simply to reflect the luxurious, iconic kind of QE2 name and luxury ocean cruise liner heritage.
But it is, you know, it's quite a spectacle, isn't it? The actual ship itself. And you know, to go on there and visit that ship and the history that goes with it.
Yes, the history is fascinating.
Yeah.
Do you know what? You don't think as well. It's a hotel now. It's open.
Yeah.
It's difficult to get a room. So right. I guess there's guests on board.
What do you mean it's difficult to get a room? They're running at about 20% occupancy.
No, I looked on the website. Maybe it's a soft opening because they're not taking any more bookings right now. I could not find a room.
Okay, we were told yesterday they were running at 20% occupancy and we couldn't. But the other thing is, Steph, ask yourself, I don't know, you've not been there. If you were to book a room on the QE2, what would you do there? Once you'd booked in and you'd had your walk around the ship.
Oh, it's like any cruise ship, isn't it?
But what would you do? But you're not, you're docked. So, and also your views outside are not of, I don't know, if you're sort of sailing like Seagull, I mean, all the rest of it. You've got quite a lot of construction work that you see out of your window because they're building a big, I think it's, I don't know which group it is. They've got a lot of houses that are being constructed. And I think when it's all done, it will be quite interesting. But at the moment, you're there. You're quite far from anywhere in Dubai, even by taxi. What would you do on board the ship? And there are very limited food and beverage options open at the moment as well.
You're talking to the girl who, when we picked up in Florence, and I said to you, oh, should we pop in? And you said, oh, it's an hour and 50 minutes in the car. So I don't think it's as far as you would be in any other cruise ship.
But
I know it's docked.
But there are no activities or anything that's going on. So on a normal cruise, not at the moment.
They are going to be doing them in the future, though.
Maybe in the future, but not at the moment.
But
there's nothing going on.
I wouldn't stay on it for 2 weeks. I would stay on it for maybe one or two nights as a novelty during my holiday in Dubai.
Possibly. Yeah.
And I would do, then I'd go out to the desert for a couple of nights. Like, it would be a part of my holiday.
Yeah.
Right now, it wouldn't be the whole holiday.
No.
But for me, it would be saying I've stayed on the QE2.
Yeah. It was a great day when it opened its doors as a hotel. And I was lucky enough to speak to Hamza Mustafa, who the CEO, who was in charge.
The QE2 is a very, very famous ship. She's been in Dubai for a while, and before that, she's been around for 51 years. She's the most famous ship ever to sail the seas. She's been around the world more than 25 times. So that's going to the moon and back 18 times. You know, the facts about the QE2 don't end.
Yeah. I mean, the history is incredible. It's steeped in history. Are visitors to your hotel going to get a feel of that history when they step on board?
Absolutely. And that's what we're going for. As you can see, we have restored the ship to her former glory. This is exactly what the ship was in 1969. We want you, when you step on board, to get a sense of what it was like in 1969, especially in the UK.
Yeah.
Now, different areas of the ship have been meticulously designed to detail to what it was. You know, we went back in the archives and saw pictures of what it was in 69, and we did that same design all over again.
Yeah, the restoration job is spot on, in my opinion. You know, you really do feel that history.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's totally unfair to compare it to the Burj Al Arab, but very often from afar, the Burj Al Arab looks beautiful and it's very, very iconic and it's gorgeous lit up at night. And some of the bits that you go into are perhaps not to everyone's tastes in terms of like, would you like to stay there? I don't know if you've had like lots of people who say, yeah, it's my dream to stay at the Burj Al Arab. And they stay there and they think, well, actually, it's not quite me. It is for a certain type of person.
Nah. I've stayed at the Burj Al Arab.
And you'd stay there anytime.
It's definitely not me, but I loved it. I cannot tell you how much I loved it. And it's totally not my cup of tea on paper, but I've never felt more relaxed. I've never felt better customer service. It was super cool experience. And I wasn't even there with someone I particularly liked.
And decor wise and all the rest of that,
just part of the experience.
Okay.
The Sky Bar, I think, is one of the coolest bars I've ever been in. I loved everything about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well pampered.
That possibility of just seeing like a star in the lobby. What I mean?
There is that. I think that would be much more likely to happen there at Burj Al Arab than on the QE2 at the moment.
Couple of text messages coming in. Defordable01, Kamala says, I attended a private party on the QE2. I wasn't impressed with the decor and the food. Thought it was awful.
Well,
courses.
Each to their own. Did we talk about the price of the iftar?
Not yet, but Adil has also been on and said, did you see our candy store? It's in the lobby by the museum. Did you see that?
I think so. I saw the slot machines, which were very much you cannot use for obvious reasons, but they looked quite funky and very original. I like those, you know, the sort of one-armed bandit things that you put in. So they
Porkies, they call them in Australia.
Okay, no, I've never heard of that.
Adult, nice to know there is a candy store there. Also, people are texting in their hidden gems for iftar. Please keep those coming to 4001. We'll keep talking about them.
So price-wise, Monica?
What do you think you'd be expected to pay for an iftar on the QE2?
I'd say 300 dirhams.
250. An interesting thing is, if you book a tour, I think the tickets for the tour are 150 dirhams, of which you can redeem 100 against any food and beverage option. So then you'd still have to pay another 150 for your iftar.
Can you not just walk on and do your own tour? Because, I mean, there's a bar on there and stuff, isn't there?
There are a few food and beverage things open during the day. I'm not sure. I'll have to pass on that. There are certain areas that you would only be allowed onto if you were being escorted by somebody official or you were on a tour, and that would be a shame to miss those, I think. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Keep your text messages coming in. Iftars are what we're talking about, and we'll be next with a few of the iftars that Monica thinks are good around town.
Food, the news and the reviews.
Monica, welcome back. It's good to have you in the studio again.
Thank you. It's always good to be here.
We are going to talk about vegan iftar next, because vegans do iftar too.
Yes, absolutely. So not to kind of be outdone, just because iftar, and traditionally people tend to connect it and associate it with grilled meats and uzis, which we spoke about before. So you can have, and it's not the only one, there's sort of two or three things that have come through my inbox connected to sort of vegan related iftars. So I was fascinated by this one, and even more so when I heard it was at a place that I'd already been to. We've spoken about it on the show already. We're at Earth by Nabs and G. Yeah. It's a vegan, but not only vegan, cafe. Does anyone remember where it is?
JLT?
It's JLT, yeah, so it's there. So we went along and tried the iftar, sort of one of the sort of first iftars that they were serving. And I really, really liked it. They've got a 5-course iftar. They're sort of small courses, but I think they could almost kind of reduce some of the portions of some of the things. So we had very, very good soups to start with. There was a carrot and mint soup and a spinach soup, so you could sort of choose from one of those. Again, served really beautifully on boards with a little bit of bread and a small bit of salad.
Is that quite unusual that it would be a served number of courses for iftar rather than just a buffet?
Well, the cafe is actually quite small, so I think they'd struggle to have a buffet there. And I don't know about you, but I'm not really a big buffet person.
No,
I know you can have lots of nice things. And the problem is, again, we've spoken about it on the show, is often people's have different eating clocks. So somebody's finished and you haven't, and you're going off to get salad and they're on their main course. And so
I always overeat at a buffet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And often I feel, I mean, some sort of iftar buffets, especially in Dubai at this time, are lavish and they're beautiful. I remember one at the Palace Hotel, really, really nice. But you feel you're not doing justice to it at all. And you think, I'm taking a tiny bit of this, a tiny bit of this. And you come back and think, I'm overfull, I've had too much, and I can't really remember. Whereas if you're served things sort of that are specially curated, connected to iftar, I, for one, prefer to eat like that. And I love it that it's early on in the evening usually. So sort of 7:02, I think, is when the sun goes down. And I think it's very healthy as well to have an early meal curated for you. So this cafe would be too small to have a buffet. So, the soups are the first courses, then they've got a sort of salad. But again, the dressings are done with like pomegranate molasses or something very, very nice. And then they had one of the nicest dishes for me, and it was called Fattus hummus with vegan yogurt. So that was probably quite challenging to make vegan. So they use that cashew cream instead of the yogurt. So it's not a sort of smooth, all paste kind of hummus. It's warm, fresh chickpeas with this cashew cream on and some pine nuts, sort of all done in like a kind of lemony and olive oil dressing. So I really like that. And actually for me, a soup, a bit of salad, and that would probably have been enough. I didn't really need my main courses, but there are main courses after that. And what they've done is they've taken sort of the Middle East and what I think people would say are more side dishes, but they've turned them into mains. So you've got like a sort of spinach stew, sort of things like that, with rice, again, with sort of different condiments. I would like to have tried, but they didn't have that day because they've got different specials called something called an earth-style sayadiye, which is like a particular sort of rice. And they were saying it's with fried onions and different condiments and things. So kind of like a biryani.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Style veganish biryani. So I quite like that.
It's really interesting.
Very interesting to go try. And the La Pièce de la Résistance was the dessert. Oh my gosh. So we tried two of them.
You are such a dessert girl.
I'm not at all.
You really are.
No, I'm not.
You
I have
say
some chocolate and a coffee, but if it's on and it's there, actually maybe I lie because there's a very nice mango dessert coming.
I think you just need to be honest with yourself.
No, I am. I am honest with myself. Apple spice cake, which they spent quite a while perfecting the recipe. Now, the icing, it looks like one of these sort of sticky toffee pudding icings, but it's not. It's actually stewed apple that they've spiced with cinnamon or something.
Oh,
and they
gosh.
Put this on with a crumbly cake. And I'm sorry, it's all vegan and it's delicious.
I can't stand fruit in disguise.
What do you mean fruit? Apple spice cake? What do you mean fruit in disguise?
Like, I like fruit to be fruit. And once you try and disguise it in something
right,
else,
okay,
I'm out.
I challenge you,
it
Steph.
Is fruit.
I challenge you. Did you ever used to eat fruit gums?
No.
I bet you did. Fruit Roundtree's fruit pastels?
Definitely not full of E numbers.
No, I not now. You
there
know that now as a child.
No, I knew
there
then.
There were no E numbers around then.
You didn't know that.
You just didn't have them on the packet, Mark. They were the same ones.
I'm sure you had fruit flavoured jelly babies or something.
Is that what it tastes like?
What?
This pie.
This apple
this
pie.
Apple.
No, no, but I'm saying, you're saying you like fruit to be fruit. I mean, that's
yes.
fruit, but it's in sweeties. No, and then the other really nice dessert was a raw carrot cake, which, you know,
nice.
When my husband likes a cake, it's really good. Yeah, because he doesn't really do cakes. And, and especially a raw cake. Oh my God, you're eating something vegan and you
so
really like
it. Sounds like
it.
There was plenty of food then.
I think so. I think so. I think it was plenty of food. I think good on them. I'm called them Earthlings. Get that? Earthlings, I think that was very cool on my part. I think they've done a very, very good job. And the deal is made even sweeter by the fact that if you try it by the 28th of May, I want to say, I think I wrote it down, it's 2 for 1. So 120 dirhams for two people at iftar time.
Oh, yeah. We're all so for that, aren't we?
Yeah.
60
like
dirhams
goodie,
each.
That.
But because it's small, I suggest you book. And for those perhaps of you who aren't fasting or have a particular day where you can't fast for whatever reason, it is open in the day. But I don't think you'd get the iftar, obviously, in the day.
No.
That's for sunset.
Yeah.
So
but if
just
you were in the
us,
area, you could.
How do you spell it?
You spell Earth as in U-R-T-H by Nabs and G. We've met Nabs and we've met the lovely G, who stands for G for Galia. Not to be confused with the Earth Cafe in Los Angeles. Yeah, so same name. But
yeah, don't
different.
Get in a taxi and ask for that. It costs you a fortune, won't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So
whilst
I
we're on GLT, someone has texted in, it is Fahad, 4001, and said, another iftar hidden gem for an awesome Pakistani cuisine is GLT Little Lahore.
Yes, I've seen it. Now, has he said what cluster that's in?
No.
I've gone past it and I can't just think. I wonder if it's cluster J. Maybe somebody might correct us on that. I don't
GLT's
know.
GLT's great for food though, isn't it?
Well, I tell you what, if I had to choose a cluster to live in food-wise for GLT, it would be cluster J, because we're talking later about two other places that are also based in cluster J, and that's where Earth by Nabs and G is as well.
I'm very fond of D myself.
So. Mm.
Of D. What's in D?
I think that's where the Vietnamese foodies is.
Oh, yeah. D for delicious. Yeah.
D for delicious, that's right.
Mm.
And
J for Japan, but D for delicious, right? Okay.
There's a couple of others there as well.
There are. I'd be interested to... I've seen Little Lahore. I've gone past it, and some Pakistani friends of mine have also recommended it, not at iftar time. But I think if you do want your sort of traditional grilled meats and your biryani, kebabs, etc., so that's one to try, Little Lahore. I reckon it's reasonable as well.
And price-wise?
For that Earth? One, so 120 per person, but do the deal. Go
oh,
there
yes.
before the 28th,
yeah.
because it's two for
two
one.
For one.
So
yeah.
60 dirhams for a five-course vegan iftar, you know, even if you're a kind of meat fan, just give this a go.
Great.
When
yeah.
we come back, we're going to be talking about the season. You know what season it is? It's a season for a very specific kind of mango.
Is it?
I'll tell you where you can find it when we come back.
Food, the news and the reviews.
So far you've taken us onto the Kiwi too. You've taken us to JLT
mm-hmm.
for a vegan iftar. Where are you taking us next?
We are taking you all the way back across town to another iconic place in Dubai, I think the Sheikh Zayed Road. So I think when we first came to Dubai, we stayed on the Sheikh Zayed Road and there was a lot of action. Lots of things happened around there. Iconic hotels, restaurants. So yeah, we're back there now. Although it's iftar, very, very special season in the year, it's also very, very special and quite short season for something else that you alluded to before the last break, Steph.
The Alfonso.
The Alfonso, yes. And what is the Alfonso famous for?
You told me I didn't even have to give it another name. I could just call it the Alfonso and everyone will know what it is.
What's the connection with
Do
the Alfonso? I mean, I've eaten a lot of these things.
Have
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
A lot. In the Philippines, I think they have the best Alfonsos in the world, in my opinion.
Why has no one told me about the Alfonso until today?
You've not been moving in the right circle, Steph.
Obviously.
No. The Alfonso mango actually comes from a man's name, Alphonse de Albuquerque, or Albuquerque, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it, first governor of, I want to say, Goa, somewhere around 1510, he colonized Goa. And then he did some work kind of crossbreeding fruits, and it was a connection of him, and they came up with the mango. That was just so amazing and so popular that the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, our current Queen, when she had her coronation, I think 1953, ordered these mangoes to be part of her banquet, her coronation.
Really?
Yes, I kid you not. And within the whole Alfonso kind of scheme of things, there is a particular sort of king of mangoes in an area called Ratnagiri. And Ratnagiri is where these mangoes that came to the coronation were from, and they were hand harvested in southwest India, sort of Maharashtra, Bombay side.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, when it's mango season, very short, Indian people go crazy over them. It's cricket, it's Bollywood, and it's Alfonso mangoes. So that's on now. So we tried a, what was it called? It was a special mango memory menu at the H Hotel at a place that we've also spoken about on the ticket before called Mumbai & Co. So you could have this meal in the evening, and you could perhaps break your iftar with
this
dates
is,
and then have this.
Is it the little one downstairs as you go in, this
it's
restaurant?
It's the little one downstairs.
Ground floor.
On the ground floor.
Yeah,
the sort
really
of retro,
like this place.
Decor.
I've only been once, but it's cool. I love the decor. They have brown glass. And I love that.
Brown glass.
Yeah.
I thought the decor was cool. I can't remember the brown glass per se, but I thought the meal that I had this time was much better than the meal that I had the first time. So I would highly recommend it. I was actually quite sceptical because they've got a short menu. It's here with not too many dishes on. And every single dish from the drinks to the starters to the mains to the desserts has mango in it. And we were thinking,
would that be a bit too much?
Would that be a bit too much?
Overdose on mango.
Absolutely. So we were a bit sceptical and we weren't sure whether to order sort of one or each of the four of us who went along. We loved every single course and I would actually go again.
Shruti's livid. She's texting, I've told you about the Alfonso stuff. I don't remember. But you know, today I went across to Caporelli's and Rebecca over there took a delivery, three boxes, and she came over to me and she went, don't tell anyone. Here, have this. I'm like, what? An Alfonso? As though I should know. So I had to do the, okay, thanks, great. I don't know what it is, but I will Google.
So
now I know.
You know, I would always associate mango with desserts. That,
right,
you
okay.
Know, what do they make a main course
with? Well, basically, what you can do is they're also including raw mangoes as well as ripe mangoes. Not that sort of normal size one you've got there, Steph, but much tinier, smaller. I don't know if you've also seen those in the Philippines, greener. Raw mangoes. And I reckon raw mangoes are used to tenderize meat. So we had a chicken tikka. It was a starter, but you could have easily had it as a main course with some bread and rice. I'm not even a chicken type of person. This was delicious. So they had marinated, I think, this chicken and used it in part of the sauce.
Okay.
So it's a raw mango, more sour, not sweet at all. So that's how they're using it in dishes that are savoury as opposed to sweet. That was like one way that they used it. And they used, I think, mango powder. You can sort of dry mango powder. And again, it's quite tart and tangy. And used it in the sort of crispy batter for their crispy bhindi that we've spoken about before. So that's another way that they're using the mango in a savoury dish. They also had a raw mango and coconut prawn curry, which was the like the sort of main course of there.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
That sounds great. Yeah.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
So you can see how versatile the mango is. And of course, as the if you were breaking your fast here, which I thought would be a very good idea, you could have a mango lassi. So I think you've got that superfood, all the nutrients that you connect with a mango, and you haven't eaten, of course, or drunk water all day. And then it's in this sort of nice yogurt connection, which you'd have instead of the leban, in a sort of like a mini meal, if you like, that would just set you up completely for a long, long number of hours that you're going to eat slowly. So I think that was a really, really good menu to try, and I would go there again. I mean,
price wise,
so what you could do, you could, if you wanted, have bits from the normal menu and then add a couple of things from the mango menu. But I did a combination of things, and I said, if you had, for example, you could share sort of one of those large mango lassis if you wanted. Share one of the desserts, have the main course and then both the starters. It would be about 200 dirhams per head if you just ordered from the mango menu. But what you could do if you wanted a deal, and that's what I said at the beginning, that Dubai is full of these deals. On Tuesdays, it's not a ladies' deal, it's anybody who can go in there. They've got a curry combo deal. So it's in the evening. You can get any curry, like a paneer or a chicken or whatever you want, with rice and a naan and a beverage, actually, for 69 dirhams. And then you can add something from the mango menu.
I'm in.
So I agree. I think you should go there, Mumbai & Co., the mango memory menu. And look, they've got a poster here and it's a mango with a crown on it because they call the mango in India king of fruits.
Yeah.
Monica.
Yes.
When are you next in? Do you know?
No, I don't know is the answer to that one.
Because, can I tell you what I would like you to do for me?
Do.
As a special thing.
Yes.
It would be amazing if we could make an entire week of a deal every night.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
A deal a day?
Yeah. So if we could do Sunday, it's this deal here. Monday. Yeah. And then we can have a whole week of eating out.
Okay.
And would the whole show be on deals?
Yeah.
Okay. Very possible. Very possible. You've given me a challenge. We might have to just tweak dates. That's okay. All. But if you want to tweak the dates, then I'm in. We've actually got a couple of more deals to talk about.
Tweaking is one of my top talents.
Okay. Let's go. A couple more deals. What have we got?
We've got more deals. So I don't know if you remember, but... we've got Demoiselle. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Really nice restaurant? And it's in City Walk. It's a very beautiful restaurant, gorgeous decor. They've got those sort of birds on the ceiling. You've got sort of the Galvin brothers. And I thought it was a tad expensive when it opened for what we had. I think Steph had an opinion on that too.
I did. But I did love going in there because
yeah, so it's beautiful.
The pattern on the chairs is the same as my husband's trainers. So I love taking
photos. Oh, yes, you mentioned that. Yeah. Yeah. So what they've got is a deal. It's a 3-course lunch. You tell me how much it ought to be. I mean, it's during the day, so obviously for people who aren't fasting.
Three courses.
But it's not sort of starters, main course, dessert. It's a soup, a choice of hot soup, vegetarian or non-vegetarian, which is also good. A choice of 3 quite hearty mains. And then the finishing thing, which I think is quite good health-wise, is an artisan coffee. So you get a proper cup of coffee or a juice, fresh juice or a tea. So that's the 3 courses.
150 dibs.
Mark?
I'll go 120.
Try 53.
What?
So 53 dirhams. And I was thinking, what? That same Demoiselle that we had that long chat about that's quite posh and beautiful. So I think that's definitely one for you to try. Going back to the vegan thing for a moment, again, Cluster J for Japan. Wokyo, our favourite noodle bar, has got a vegan ramen. So that would be a nice thing to break your fast with. Vegan ramen in Wokyo, Cluster J, 45 dirhams for like a very big hearty bowl.
Yeah.
Vegan ramen. Then you can have a lovely matcha ice cream to cool down after that, which they do very, very well. A deal I tried last night, I thought, how are they going to get me there? Because I wasn't kind of wild on the location. I actually took my book club ladies there. Which included my posh friend that I
do
took to
the QE2.
Do you
have a rival book club?
Do you know what I call my book club, Steph?
What?
The book club.
So do we. We call it the radio book club.
The radio book club. We call it the book club. Yes. So we said, look, you know what? Because one of our friends lives quite near there. So we were at Certo, which is a very well-established Italian restaurant in Dubai Media City at the Radisson Blue Hotel. And they have a deal, which is in their Italian restaurants, all been done up. Very, very smart. Gorgeous ambiance. Very, very good. You get a plate of sort of sharing Italian food. They will cater if you're vegetarian or pescatarian, which one or two of us were. And you pay 199 dirhams for food for 2 people. So you're paying 100 dirhams for very, very good quality Italian food. And we're talking like melanzane parmigiana. We're talking fritto misto, so nice crispy calamari, a very nice tuna. There was a beef carpaccio that my beef eater type friends absolutely were raving about. Some desserts and, I mean, very, very good sort of salad, bread, olive oil, all of that. 100 dirhams a person I thought was good. And then you can go up by 100 dirhams if you'd like beverages as well. And that's for 2 people. So I thought that was a very, very good deal, bearing in mind the type of restaurant it was. We had some nice hazelnut and pistachio ice cream and very good pachi chocolates on the side. So I thought that was a very, very good deal if you could get there. It is quite quiet in the evenings because it's obviously Media City. But if you're there in the day, I think just make the trek out. Mm. Fantastic ambience. Very, very nice deal. So there's the Demoiselle deal. There's the Certo deal. Both very, very good deals. 2 vegan options. Actually next door to each other if you're in Cluster J. Another new place that's opened in Cluster J is Cali Poke. Remember the one, the Californian poke?
You're going to have to save it until next time.
All right, okay, that's also there.
We've run out of time.
Yeah, happy iftar, happy eating. Get an Alphonse while you can.
Yes, make sure you get them in the next 3 weeks. I think that's the window.
Really?
We've
only got 3 weeks.
3 weeks. So it's till the end of June that the Alphonse season runs out. And I take your challenge on board for a deal a day.
Okay, and I want deals... like the one where it was 69 dirhams.
For the
like
curry combo.
In an amazing place. That was a deal. That was a deal and a half.
And the 53 dirhams for lunch at Demoiselle. I thought that was a very good deal.
I think it has to be dinner.
Don't be surprised if Steph is over there tonight.
A deal a day, dinner deal. Date to be decided. Right, okay.
Great.
And Maddie has said on 4001, how can we get the restaurant list that you are talking about along with the prices? We can check that out online, doindubai.com.
Check out doindubai.com. It will be the latest one. I think it's called Iftars and Deals in Dubai. Yeah, and it's there. Or the best thing to do is also follow Do in Dubai on Instagram because you get it immediately there. But all the links with the restaurants and the prices are on the blog, doindubai.com.
Fantastic. Thanks, Monica. See you next
time. Thank you.
Food, the news and the reviews.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.